The highlight of my day, each and every day, is the opportunity to learn and to teach Torah to so many of you. Some of you I know by face and by name, and others I have a connection with through our podcast, through our website. The Institute for Jewish Continuity is a vehicle for the dissemination of the ideas, ideals, and lessons of our beautiful Torah. But we cannot do this without your help. On Sunday, March 12th, the Institute is hosting a beautiful event, a dinner and a show. This is your opportunity to partner with us, to continue to allow us to do our beautiful holy work literally across the globe. Please visit www.ijcevent.com. Make your reservations for the show. And in the event that you can't join us on that Sunday, please take this opportunity to donate. Take this opportunity to support us. Take this wonderful opportunity to partner with us in all of our holy work. All right, good evening, everyone. So our shiur tonight is sponsored anonymously in commemoration of the first yahrzeit for Baruch Avram ben Binyamin HaKohen Zichrono Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and a family in the Chama. So let's begin. Yisro. So of course, when it comes to Parshas Yisro, so the most obvious place to start is the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. Remember, again, there's an incredible build-up, pretty much from the time already that Moshe Rabbeinu approaches Klal Yisrael in Chumash, in really in Parsha Shmos, in order to deliver to them an incredible message of redemption. Everything centers around Kabbalah HaTorah. Everything is a lead-up, ultimately, again, to arriving at Har Sinai, to ultimately, again, accepting this union, this relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And everything is about Sinaitic revelation, because it really solidifies and concretizes our identity as a nation. So we're not going to speak about that tonight, because, again, that always gets the attention in Parashas Yisro. Instead, what I want to draw your attention to is something that at first glance really appears to be quite ordinary and unexciting. Let's begin at number one. So remember, the parasha begins with the reunification of Moshe Rabbeinu and his wife and his children. Remember, as Rashi points out, when Moshe Rabbeinu is on his way down to Mitzrayim, he's bringing Tzipora, he's bringing his sons. Who comes out to meet him? None other than his brother Aaron. Aaron says, Moshe, what are you doing? We're trying to get the Jews out of Egypt. Why are you bringing additional people into Egypt? At which point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and he sends Tzipora. Good evening, everyone. He sends Tzipora, as well as the sons, back to Midian, back to live with Yisro. And that's where he stays. At this point in time, in the beginning of this week's parasha, Yisro decides, again, if you remember, four years ago, we discussed this whole episode of Yisro bringing back the family. I figured everybody remembers that. So I didn't want to hazard that this year. So again, we're fast-forwarding past that part. Yisro now is reunited with his son-in-law. Tzipora is back with her husband. The boys are back. Vahimi Macharas, number one. So it was on the day after Yisro came. Vayoshev Moshe Lishpot Es Ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in judgment of the people. Vayamo Ta'ama Moshe Min HaBoker Vad Erev. And again, the people literally are standing over Moshe, hovering over Moshe Rabbeinu from the morning until the evening. Vayar Chosin Moshe Es Kol Asher Asuhu Oseh La'am. So Yisro sees everything that's going on. Vayomer, Ma Dover Azeh Asher Ata Oseh La'am. What is this, Moshe, that you are doing? Madua ata yoshev levadecha v'chala'am nitzav alecha min haboker ad ha'erev. Why is it that you are sitting here yourself in judgment of the people, and the people literally are all around you from morning until evening? So what happened? Moshe in response, Pasek Tesva, verse 15, V'ra Moshe l'chosno, ki avoy elai ha'am l'drosh alakim. What do you want from me? The people come, they're coming to seek out the word of God. Specifically, what they're doing is they're having all different kinds of disputes, all different kinds of discussions. So Moshe Rabbeinu says they want to know what is the word of God, what is the ruling of God in these circumstances. And so they come to me to seek out the word of God. Pasuk Tazayin, verse 16. Ki Elohem davar boilai, v'shafatati ben isha ben re'ehu, v'hodati eschuke Elohim ves torosav. So when they have a dispute between them, they want to know ultimately what is the will, what is the word of God. They come to me, and I resolve it. So Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayomer Chosin Moshe Lov. So Yisro says to Moshe, Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. What you are doing is not correct. In other words, the way you're handling this situation is absolutely incorrect. Why? Pasuk Yitzayin, verse 18, Navol tibol gam ata gam ha'amazeh asher imach. Kikaved mimcha hadavar lo suchal asahu levadecha. We'll just use the translation over here. Novel tibol, you will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people who are with you, for the matter is too heavy for you, you cannot do it alone. So what Yisro seems to be saying to Moshe is, this is an unsustainable framework. This is an unsustainable situation. You can't go ahead and be the only person adjudicating the disputes of the people. You can't be the only dayan, you can't be the only judge. You're going to get worn out, the people are going to get worn out, and you're just going to simply implode. Ato, so what should you do? So this is Pasuk Ketes, verse 19. Ato shma bekoli. So now Yisro says to Moshe, Moshe, listen to me. He says, Vihi Elokim imach, I'm sorry, listen to me, I'm going to give you some good advice. God will be with you. So remember again, to make a very long story short, so what does Yisro say to Moshe? Yisro says to Moshe, listen, you have to set up a court system. And that's how the parsha kind of evolves and goes on. Yisro advises Moshe to set up a multi-tiered court system, with Moshe Rabbeinu being kind of like the Supreme Court. Moshe Rabbeinu being the highest authority in the land, that should there be a situation that the other judges and the other frameworks of the other branches of the judicial system cannot solve, they will bring that to you, and that's what you'll busy yourself with. So the Medrash number 2 writes the following, Novel Tibol, you will surely wear yourself out. He says, Sheyageh lema'ot, you're gonna get too exhausted. Meaning, this is the important idea. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is a man. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is more. Remember we spoke about this a number of years ago, where in Shmos, right after, in Bo, Parshas Bo, right after Moshe Rabbeinu begins to rise, his rise to prominence, he goes to speak to Paro, he becomes the mouthpiece of God, the leader for the Jewish people. So what happens? The Torah gives his genealogy. So all the Mefarshim point out, it's such a strange place for, remember the Torah gives a genealogy for Reuven, Shimon, Levi. And then it stops. All to give the genealogy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Shamshon of Al Hirsch says, why does the Torah interrupt to give a genealogy? So he says something amazing. He says, you know, other religions have men that they have made into gods. And the best way to make a man into a god is to obscure his paternity, is to obscure his family tree. If you don't know where a person comes from, then you can make up all types of narratives about ultimately where this person originates. So of course, again, Rav Hirsch is making a reference to Jesus, is making a reference to the idea that because his paternity was obscured or shrouded in some ambiguity, all types of narratives can be created. So Rav Hirsch says, what does the Ribono Shel Olam do? Right before Moshe Rabbeinu rises to prominence, right before Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the mouthpiece of God, what does the Torah do? The Torah tells us the name of his parents. For what purpose? For what purpose? To remind us of his mortality. So Yisro comes along. You know, there is nothing like an in-law to make you feel like a mortal. Right? So, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu has beaten down Pharaoh. He split the sea. He's incredible. And what happens is Pharaoh comes along and says, by the way, you know that you're just a regular guy. And at the end of the day, you're going to get tired. And when you get tired, you're not going to be as effective. And when you get tired, you can't pay as close attention. And when you can't tired, you cannot adjudicate as efficiently. So this is an unsustainable situation. I know you're Moshe Rabbeinu. I know everyone thinks you're great, you're wonderful, you're a tzaddik, you're fantastic. And I agree with all of them. But you're also a man. Novel Tibol, if you don't address this situation, you will simply wear yourself out. Gama Amazeh, listen to what the Medrash says. Sherubam niftarin la'erev bapachi nefesh, she'incha yachol lotseis yedei kulam. So this is amazing. So says Yisro to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, you need to understand that you're not happy with this situation, and this is amazing. You know, the people aren't happy either. How do the people aren't, you know, sometimes it's an amazing thing. Yisro just arrived to Klal Yisrael yesterday, and already he hears about the dissatisfaction. Because, you know, again, whenever there's an attentive ear, whenever somebody's willing to listen, there's always someone willing to put forward some type of complaint. Or chas v'shalom, it's never a complaint. It's always constructive criticism. So what happens? So the manager says to Jesus, listen, I've been here a day, and I'm telling you, the people aren't happy. And rightfully so, because they're clamoring for your attention. There's no system. There's no order. There's no seder. She'in chayocha lotzei sidei kulam. You're not running an efficient system over here. Gamato ataze Moshe atzmo gam rabos Aaron. And again, even though in reality Moshe isn't just handling this himself, Moshe as Aaron, Moshe as Yoshua. Yisro is saying you are woefully understaffed. You have to manage an entire people, and you're just trying to manage it with a skeleton staff. The Rashbam says in number 3, Novel Tibol Kigon Unevala Sham Svasam Asher Lo Yishmu Ish Svas Reu. So the Rashbam also picks up on this lashon of Novel Tibol. Novel Tibol. So we translated it as you will surely wear out. The Rashbam points out we've seen this lashon before. Where did we see it? Already back in Bereshis. By Migdal Bavel. Remember again, when they're building the Tower of Babel to whatever they're trying to do, to war with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, storm the heavens, whatever they're trying to do, so God punishes them, and the Torah says, Unevale Sham Sfasam. Let's mix up their languages. So the Rashbam points out that Novel Tibol is the same lashon, the same verbiage of Unevale, to mix up. So look what the Rashbam says. He says, Asher lo yishmu ish sasrehu lashon shalcha misbalbelas. Moshe, what you're trying to convey is not being heard. Lahashiv lekama bnei adam yachod v'gam hei mispabalim l'shonam zetzoy v'zetzoy. So the Rashbam seems to say that literally Moshe Rabbeinu's court system, his courthouse, was hefker. Was hefker. Unavol tibol means everything's getting mixed up. You're trying to hand down a ruling. They're yelling at you for their sides. They're advancing their proofs. And it's an entire bahala. It's a 3-ring circus. Ve'ein b'cha koach lahashiv l'kulam kiseder ze'achar zeh. And whereas a court system should run how? One case after the next, after the next, after the next. The cases should be presented. The judge should have an opportunity to reflect on them. And then ultimately to rule. Moshe, everything's being thrown at you at once. The voices, everyone's shouting on top of each other. You can't think straight, and they don't even hear what it is that you're saying in return. Or you're saying in response, I should say. Number 4, the Chizkuni writes, same idea. Novel Tibol, Lashon Irvuf, Lashon of mixture, of confusion. Be'inyon zeh, Tisbal bel atavahein. Everybody's mixed up, Moshe Rabbeinu. Zet soek shema'inu Adoni. This one's crying out, Moshe, listen to me. Vizekim, okay, no, this one's saying, no, Moshe, you listen to me. Ve'ein ata yodea lemi sa'ana. And Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone is clamoring for your attention, and what? You do not know how to answer. You don't even know what they're saying. So again, what you see over here is based on the Medrash, the Rashbam in the Chizkuni. Yisro walks in, and essentially, what's his reaction?
This can't work.
Right. To paraphrase, what the heck is going on over here? That's not a direct quote, but you understand. Anything, right? This is not going to work. This is an unsustainable model. Everything is bala. And remember again, the court system, a judicial system, is exceptionally important. That is the mechanism we have for conflict resolution. So Yisro sees this Moshe, it's not going to work, and therefore he gives Moshe an idea. Multi-tiered court system. Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately takes his advice, and everything works out beautifully. So there's a very simple question that one could ask on this section. What's the simple question? What Yisro is describing is not rocket science. Right? What Yisro is describing is, you need a bunch of judges, you also need different gradations of judges, right? You need what we call the Sarei Alafim, the Sarei Meos, the Sarei Chamishim, the Sarei Asaros. You need judges who could adjudicate the masses, you need judges on top of them, judges on top of them, judges on top of them, until ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu is the supreme justice. This is not complicated. Meaning Moshe, again, remember, I just want to point out how far in to our national story is this unfolding? How far in? So at most, remember, there's a chronological dispute as to when Yisro goes out and joins Klal Yisro. The latest chronological opinion would be that Yisro comes after Matan Torah. So Matan Torah, we know, is given how many days after we leave Egypt? Right? 49 days, 50th day. So 7 weeks. 2 months. 2 months. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees that this is not working. Why did Yisro have to come along and suggest this? Or better yet, we have to give Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit of credit. Moshe Rabbeinu could have done this on his own without Yisro's suggestion, but we would assume intentionally did not. So the question is, ultimately, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's thought process in trying to handle a system like this? And why did Moshe Rabbeinu not take course-correcting activity sooner? So I want to share with you a couple of different approaches. Take a look at number 5. So the Aznaim Torah of Suratskin, and we're going to do three Tonight, really, we're going to do three dramatically different approaches. You know, sometimes I say the approaches work beautifully in consonance together. I don't know tonight if that'll be so, because I think they're just three dramatically different narratives. So Rav Sorotzkin writes the following. Noble Tibo, the right-hand paragraph, paragraph Aleph. Gama amaze gam amcho. Amcho, excuse me, imcho hu ha'am. Aval kishe novel tibo ein kivar am. So Rav Sorotzkin makes an amazing observation. The Yisro says to Moshe, Novel Tibol, Gam Ha'am Hazeh, Asher Imach. So if you look, by the way, if you want to see the pasuk, it's back in number 1, verse Yudchez, verse 18. So the verbiage of the pasuk itself seems to be a bit redundant. Novel Tibol, you're going to wear yourself out. Gam Ata, you're going to wear yourself out. Gam Ha'am Hazeh, you're going to wear the people out. Which am? Asher imach. Why does Yisro have to say ve'es ha'am asher imach, the nation that is with you? Obviously, we're talking about the nation that is with Moshe. Why do I have to say asher imach? So Rav Sorotzkin in Azan Torah makes an amazing observation. He says imach hu am. If you are at the helm of the people, then it's a nation. Aval kishanav al tibol. But if you wear yourself out and you are no longer capable of functioning, ein kivar am. There is no more nation. So what Yisro is saying to Moshe is, you need to be careful, because you are the glue which holds the nation together. If it's imach, if the nation's with you, then there's a klal Yisro. If you're not there because you wear yourself out and you're gone, there's no am. There's no nation either. Ki baladecha yashuvu mitzrayma v'yishar sham avdei olam. Because again, without you, at some point in time, they will simply choose the path of least resistance. They will return back to Egypt and once again remain a nation of slaves. If you're not going to take pity or compassion on yourself, at least take pity or compassion upon the people. So Zayin Torah is advancing something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, let's read one more paragraph. Paragraph Beis. Ki kaved mimcha adavar. He says, Shemuchan ata. Excuse me. V'shema ata. Muchan. V'shema tomar. Shemuchan ata. La'krav v'ad klal Yisrael. His sister says to Moshe, I got your number. You're willing. You are the selfless leader. So you are willing to give up anything and everything for the benefit of the people. La'asos v'adam afilu davar ha'kaved mimcha. U'bilvad shetiyah batuach sh'adavar na'aseh b'shlemus. Aval lo suchal asol levadecha. So actually, before we go on to this, Rav Sorotzkin advances something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that this is not a sustainable model. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's logic? And this is amazing. You know what? I'll work as long as I can. I'm going to work myself to the bone. And then, when they use me up, then what will happen? Someone else will come in. Someone else will come in. And Yisro says to Moshe, you don't understand. There's no one else. It's not that there will be someone else. Yoshua will be later on. But right now, Klal Yisrael needs you. It's not just the pshat that you're plugging a hole. And if you're not here, someone else will plug the hole. Klal Yisrael Dafka needs you at this time. It is only you who could lead the people. It is only you who could lift up the people. It is only you who could inspire the people. And therefore, if you wear yourself out, if you drive yourself into the ground, not only will you suffer, but the people will suffer as well. So it turns out that according to Zayin Torah, something amazing, that the point of contention between Moshe and Yisro is that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his incredible humility, assumed that what?
He's replaceable.
Moshe Rabbeinu, in his incredible humility, assumed that he was replaceable. If I run myself into the ground, what's the big deal? There'll always be someone else. To which Yisro says to Moshe, you are not replaceable, at least not right now. At a certain point in time, you know, the most humbling thing in life is that we are all replaceable. You know, as the Gemara says, persons should never say, only I could do this job. Because the Gemara literally says, if a HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mazmin a yitush is a gnat. If a HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to get a gnat to do my job, He'll get in to do my job. It's the most humbling, but it's a wonderfully empowering, humbling reality. It's good not to take yourself so seriously. Everyone, no matter how important you are, it doesn't mean that your family doesn't miss you. It doesn't mean your loved ones don't miss you. But at the end of the day, every person is replaceable some way, somehow. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's Hashkafas HaChaim. Va'ish Moshe, Anav Mikalada. Moshe Rabbeinu lives with an incredible and overwhelming sense of humility. I'm not so special. I just happen to be the right guy at the right place. But at the end of the day, if I'm worn out, or I burn out, or I die on the job, there'll always be someone else. To which Yisro says, my beloved son-in-law, you need to start understanding who you are. You need to understand what you are. You're not just here to plug a hole. You're not just a leader. You are the leader. And you are the leader that Klal Yisrael needs. And as such, you must preserve your strength. And as such, you must preserve your emotional and inner and spiritual resources, because you have a lot more to do. You need to be at the helm of this people for much longer. So according to Aznaim LaTorah, Moshe Rabbeinu thought about changing this around as well. But what's the point? I'll give it 150% for as long as I can. And when I no longer can, someone else will. Yisro comes along to tell Moshe, you need to preserve your strength because there is much destiny ahead of you. Take a look at number 6. Now this, I have to warn you, is forever going to change your life. This is a piece by Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kuk. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was the son of Rav Avram Yitzchak Kohen Kuk. So whereas Rav Kuk, Rav Avram Yitzchak was the first chief rabbi of Israel, it was really Palestine, it was before the founding of the state. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz HaRav. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda was really the one who was responsible for proliferating his father's writings. Rav Kuk, although he wrote prolifically, Rav Kuk did not disseminate his writings. Rav Kuk also wrote very often in a very esoteric fashion. Rav Tzvi Yehuda really was responsible for disseminating, distilling, and allowing his father's teachings to be a bit more understandable. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda, however, has his own writings as well. So look what he writes over here. Get ready for this. Absolutely mind-blowing. He says, Nabal Tibo, Biparshasenu Misparab and Mispar Makomos, Ingin Haskula Miuchedesha Amisra. Vizeo Echad Mina Makomos, Bahem, Ha'arachai Mavlit Zos. Hari Li Yisro, Yeshachma Me'anyenes. Yisro comes on the scene. And you know, Yisro is one of those people where he's a fixer. You know, there are some people who, they see something broken in life, and what do? They'll tell you about it, right? By the way, this is broken, right? And they're going to tell you why it's broken, how it's broken, and everything else. The one thing they won't do is they won't fix it. Yisro was not like that. Yisro was the kind of person, that was his personality, that what he saw something that was broken, he rolled up his sleeves, let's fix it. Let's fix it. Let's not lament that which is broken. Let's roll up our sleeves and commit ourselves to fixing it. So Yisro has what Rav Tzvi Yehuda calls a chachma ma'anyenes, a fascinating wisdom. Moshe Rabbeinu kibel mimenu davar yisodi v'chashav ha'shayach la'adrach ha'sachayim shaklal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in an incredible way, again, this is the humility of Moshe. Moshe is willing to be makabel. Yisrael makes a suggestion. Moshe Rabbeinu thinks about it, says, you know, it's a great suggestion, and he incorporates it. Get ready for this. Yisro tzodek ma'od ba'amro dvarim pshutim unechonim. Yisro is unequivocally correct when he says very simple ideas. What are his simple ideas? Nabal tibal. Ain't gonna work. You're going to go ahead and run yourself into the ground. So look what Rav Tzvi Yehuda writes. Eich Moshe, left hand paragraph. Eich Moshe Rabbeinu lo hisig me'atzmo es achidish hazesh lo Yisro. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda asks our question. I don't understand. This is not rocket science. You can't judge 3.5 million people yourself. What are you trying to do? You're going to wear yourself out. What? The light bulb goes off? I never thought of that before. Of course you thought of it before. Why does the Moshe Rabbeinu think of this chiddush? Get ready for this. Kiviyachol, hagoy hazeh, yoser chacham yam Yisrael. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda says it would appear that a Gentile, right, was smarter than all of the Jews put together. Right? That again, a Gentile priest, right, who worshipped every single Avodah Zarah, had more wisdom than the collective Jewish wisdom. He says, Yesh lo Yoser Seichel b'chelek zeh shel Torah, me'asher le Moshe Rabbeinu. Is it possible that Yisro has more wisdom than Moshe Rabbeinu? Get ready for this. Elo sheskulas Yisro b'chiraso, eino teluya b'malos. So says Rav Tzvi Yehuda, was Yisro smarter than Moshe? It's quite possible that the answer to that was yes. And you know what? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness and the greatness of Klal Yisro is not dependent on any specific traits, like wisdom. Rather, again, it is possible that there are others, other individuals, other nations, who are smarter than we are. So you see, this is something very beautiful. He says, Ribon Shalom chose us to be his nation. And the truth is, or the truth is actually saying is the following. He's saying that it's not because we're smarter, and it's not because we're better, and it's not necessarily because we possess certain traits that the other nations do not possess. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose us as a nation because he saw something special in us. And that special kite may not be definable. That special kite may be some intangible aspect of the collective Jewish soul that only the Ribono Shel Olam is able to see. So it's not that we're smarter, it's not that we're better, but alright, what's the proof that it's not because we're smarter? Because Yisrael was probably smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu. It's quite possible. And again, Tzvi Yehuda entertains the possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu just never thought of this. It sounds so obvious to us. It sounds like, how could you not think of this? Maybe you just didn't. By the simple answer is, sometimes when you're so busy, right, you just don't have time to think. Moshe doesn't have time to think about it. Yisrael was smarter. But I think we can take Tzvi Yehuda one step further. What Tzvi Yehuda is saying is, what made Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Rabbeinu was not his intellect. It wasn't his intellect. He might not have been the smartest guy. I shouldn't say guy. He might not have been the smartest man. So what made Moshe Rabbeinu unique? What was his defining characteristic? So we know. Moshe Rabbeinu's defining characteristic goes back to the first time we really introduced him. The first time we really meet Moshe as the man is when he's tending his father-in-law Yisro's flock in the desert in Midian. And what happens? The Torah says he's shepherding, right? He's shepherding the flock. And what happens? He passes by, and what does he see? He says he sees a sneh bo'er ba'esh. And what does the Torah say? Vihine sar liros. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the time to turn to the side to go ahead and see what's going on. So says the Sfasam, we spoke about this before, quotes the Zohar, I meant to put this on the sheet. The Zohar says that bush was burning for a very long time. The Ribon Shel Olam was looking for someone who was going to take an interest. The Ribon Shel Olam was looking for someone who wanted more. The Ribon Shel Olam was looking for someone who was willing to grow beyond the normal day-to-day mundane activities. Someone who was looking for more light. Someone who was looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who was looking for a heightened level of connection. And you know what happened? Every single day, people passed by that bush, and they saw it burning like Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw that the bush was not being consumed by the flames. But what did they say? What did they say? You know what? I'll get to it tomorrow. There's just too much on my plate right now. That burning bush, I'm going to make a note of that. Right? I'll even take a selfie by the burning bush. Right? But at the end of the day, I don't have time for that right now. I don't have time for that. I'll get to it when I get to it. And the truth is, when you don't have time for personal growth, when you don't make time for personal growth, when you don't make time to try to seek out the more light, guess what? There's never time. And there's never a good time. And there's never free time. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he was a mevakesh. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he was a seeker. He was someone who was looking for more light. He was someone who was looking for more Ribono Shel Olam. He was someone who was always looking for more. Always looking to accomplish more. Always looking to grow. Moshe Rabbeinu was the kind of person that when he woke up in the morning, he said to himself, how am I going to grow today? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Tzvi Yehuda, wants more than anything within Klal Yisrael, which is growth. Growth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be mevakshim and mevakshos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do one thing in life, to yearn for more. To yearn for more. And by the way, that yearning for more is not just in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The goal is to be a mevakish in every area of life. A person should be a mevakesh in their career. Person shouldn't be happy with career stagnation. Person should always try to grow. Person should be mevakesh in their relationships. We should not settle for levels of dysfunction within our relationship. We have to figure out how to grow. Yes, sometimes our relationships exist within a particular framework, but we always have to figure out a way to make them better. Being a mevakesh is everything in life. My davening today should not be like my davening yesterday. And that's not because there are more cholim or less cholim. It means that every single day I want a renewed tefillah experience. Every single day is about growth. So let's see, this says something easy. Do you know why the Torah goes through this story? Because if you think about it, it's such a strange story. Right? Why do I need to know this? This whole exchange between Moshe and Yisro? We need to spend so many psukim on this. Just tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately set up a court system. Why do I need to know that at first Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do, then Yisro came out and told him what to do, Moshe Rabbeinu took his advice, now we have a court system. Just give me the bottom line. I'm in a rush. Give me the bottom line of the story. Now there's a court system. Why do I need the whole story? To highlight the fact that you don't have to be the smartest guy to be the greatest guy. To highlight the fact that what the Ribono Shel Olam is looking for from me is not to always be the best. It's just to be a mevakish. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be more than anything is to be the kind of person who, like Moshe Rabbeinu, was sar liros. A person who is willing to break off the beaten path in an effort to find more and to be more. Yisro was smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu, says Ratzvi Yehuda. But you know the one thing that no one could beat Moshe Rabbeinu on was his midah of bakasha, his midah of bakshanos. That Moshe Rabbeinu was a constant and eternal mavakish. Every day was about growth. Every day was about self-evolution. Every single day was about self-transcendence. That was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, according to Tzvi Yehuda, that's the take-home message. You don't have to be the smartest in order to be the most beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves the simple Jew just as much as he loves the greatest Talmid Chacham, as long as the simple Jew has that same burning desire to grow as the Talmid Chacham does. That's what Tzvi Yehuda. Take a look for our last approach for this evening. We're going to take a look at numbers 7, 8, and 9. So we'll start first with a beautiful piece by Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Abradichev. So the Rebbe says the following. He says, "Madua atu yoshir levadecha v'chala'am nitzav alecha, v'yom Moshe ki yabai le'am, v'yom novel tiba l'chora inam duk-duk." So for Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Abradichev says, I don't understand this storyline. Dimitrila, sha'olo ma zeh shekala'am nitzav alecha, v'achar kach amar lo ki kaveh mimcha davar. Pasach b'davar echad v'sim b'davar acher. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak makes an interesting observation. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says it seems to be that Yisro is advancing two separate arguments. First, he says, "Kala'am nitzav alecha." These people are always around you. Right? Nitzav alecha means they're always around. Like atem nitzavim hayom, they're always around you. And then he says, this is too much for you to handle. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says, I don't understand. It sounds like Yisro is saying two separate things. So look at the Rebbe says, Ach Yishlom HaPerush, I'm in number 7, third line in right after the period. Ach Yishlom HaPerush, Tehineh Adam, get ready for this. Tzarech Lihios Holich Mimadrega Lemadrega. Again, same, you're going to see similar idea like Rav Tzvi Yehuda. What's the goal in life? What's the goal in life? To be a Holich. You know, the Rebbe quotes from the Zohar that says, a tzaddik is called a Holich, and a non-tzaddik, a tzaddikly challenged individual, is called an Omeid. Right? There are some people that are always walking, and there are some people who just settle for standing. The goal of a tzaddik is to be someone who goes madriga le madriga. V'lo nios nitzav al ma'amad b'china achas. And to never be stationary in one place. V'hine, kishe tzaddik medaber im anoshim pechusim me'erech shalom, as heim me'babu l'moso. So the Rebbe says something amazing. You know, when the tzaddik, when the righteous person, maintains a connection to people of lesser spiritual caliber, what does that do? It brings him down. It brings him down. So the tzaddik, again, wants to live in the ivory tower of spirituality, but when he goes ahead and he has to connect with people who are of a lesser spiritual standing, ultimately, again, that brings him down into the mundanity of their world. Asim mebabulim also, ach mishu tzaddik gadol, yochol lalos osam ayidei hadibur. But somebody who's truly righteous, even though he may be brought down by the mundanity or by the ordinarity of these individuals, he has the koach, he has the ability to go down into their midst and then to bring them back up with him. He goes on, he says, ach, shu'avodah gidola. But this is an incredible avoda. Lezeh shalom etchila mazeh shekala'am nitzav alecha. Shem bebechinas nitzav mamad echot. V'haya kasha lo amoshe sheyedar brekol hayom im anashma sheheb nitzav mamad echot. So says Rabbi Yitzchak, Yisro was saying something totally different. Yisro was a spiritual elitist. And Yisro says to Moshe, here's the problem. Mazeh shekala'am nitzav alecha. You're surrounding yourself all day by people who are standing. What does that mean? Moshe, you're a grower, you're a walker, you're a mevakish, and yet you're allowing yourself to be surrounded by these people who are nitzavim, who are standing in place. You're allowing yourself to be surrounded by people who have adopted and have settled for a lifestyle of mediocrity. Moshe, you do understand that if you remain in this place, you know what will happen. You will be brought down. You yourself will compromise your own spirituality. He goes, as heshev l'Moshe. So what does Moshe Aleinu say? Moshe says to the Shver, he says to the father, you don't understand. They come to me for me to lift them up. They know they're ordinary. They know they're mediocre. And they're coming to me for what purpose? They're coming to me, the tzaddik. They're coming to me, their Rebbe, in order for me to be able to lift them up. V'ani ma'ala osam b'dibur. As amar lo imkein, kaveit hadavar hazeh alecha, v'hu uvda gidola laha'anos anoshim pachos me'erach shalcha. So says Zeb, something amazing is happening over here. Yisro and Moshe are having a profound theological, spiritual, and maybe even hashkafic debate about how you interact with the greater world around you. Yisro comes. Moshe is the Gadol Hadar. Moshe Rabbeinu is the man who speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim al panim. And how is he spending his days? He's spending his days with regular people. And regular people, remember again, Klal Yisrael, we were not a nation of tzaddikim, especially at this point in time. We still were really had the slave mentality. We were still exceptionally broken. We still were not even fully committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu yet. So Yisrael says to Moshe, what are you doing? What are you doing? You should be locked up in your tent. You should be plumbing the depths of spirituality. You should be communing and communicating with God. And you should not sully yourself with the interaction with these people. To which Moshe Rabbeinu says, you don't understand. My tachlis, my purpose in this world, is to lift up these people. But I can't lift them up if I'm over here and they're over here. The only way for me to lift them up is to be in their midst. And the only way to be in their midst is to listen to their problems, is to listen to the kvetching, is to listen to the difficulties, is to listen to the cries, and to try to help them fix their problems. By doing that, although yes, I bring myself down a little, there's no question, Moshe Rabbeinu says, my personal spirituality takes a hit, but for the long-term good of Klal Yisrael, my being immersed and enmeshed in the people allows me not to be brought down by them, or maybe to be brought down by them temporarily. But at the end of the day, my presence within their midst is going to lift them up. Says the Rebbe, what the Torah is trying to teach us over here is that sometimes we think that the pathway to holiness is paved with isolation. We think that in order to go ahead and retain my personal holiness, I need to distance myself from anything and everything that could bring me down. Now, that is a partially true statement. If I know that there are negative things that bring me down, I absolutely have to distance myself from certain things. But sometimes, especially when it comes to Klal Yisrael, we have to be willing to engage the other, even if the other is not on the same level as us. Even if the other is not exhibiting the same type of behaviors as we are. Even if the other is struggling with certain things. If we're strong enough in who we are, by allowing ourselves to go down and to meet the other where they are, we have the ability to bring them back up with us. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, the Torah's entire purpose for going ahead and going into great detail with the story is to tell us the hashkafic debate between Yisro and Moshe, which in reality underlies the philosophical debate of spirituality between the Jews and the nations of the world. Whereas the nations of the world feel that greatness and spirituality only comes from elitism, only comes from separation, we recognize that greatness in our Yiddishkeit comes about from our ability to connect with the other wherever they may be and to lift them up from their mundanity, from their ordinarity, I'm making up that word, but from their ordinarity and ultimately bring them up into greatness. And in fact, if you take a look at number 8, Rabbi Nachman has this same idea in a different context. The Rebbe says, "Vayetze Moshe likras chosno." This is the beginning of the parsha. Moshe then goes out to greet his father-in-law. Vayishtachu, he bows to him. Vayishachlo, he kisses him. Vayishalu ish l'rei ehu l'shalom. And literally Vayisha, they greet, now the English translation is they greeted one another. But the truth is, Ish Tore'ehu is a lashon of equivalency. Right? They greeted each other as equivalents. They greeted each other as peers, as equals. Asks Rabbi Nachman, number 9, Lekutei Halachos, Vayishalu Ish Tore'ehu L'shalom Hanemar Moshe V'Yisro, Va'omro V'sin Zal, Mi'a Koroi Ish Zeh Moshe, V'kama Hayu Rechokim Zeh Mizeh. How can you call Moshe and Yisro Ish Lere'ehu? As if there's some type of commonality between these two men. Moshe Kibal Atar Mepi Agvura, right? Moshe bin received the Torah. Now it's true, Yisro had major spiritual accomplishments, but can you compare the spiritual accomplishments of Yisro to the spiritual accomplishments of Moshe Rabbeinu? Of course not. He says, so how can you, Yisro is not on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can you call them Ish Tore'ehu, one man to his peer, left hand column? Afapi kein korim Ish Tore'ehu, ki kach darko shalat tzadik hagavoa ma'ot, says Rabbi Nachman, because this is the derech of the tzadik. You want to know what makes the tzadik a tzadik? Shehu bechinas Moshe, shu morid es atzmo, umekarev etz atzmo akach, lemish yesh lo ezer ratzon liskarev ela emes. You know what a tzaddik is? A tzaddik is someone who is willing to give up of his own ruchnius, of his own spirituality, to go down to someone else, to wrap his arms around that person, and to lift that person back up. That's a tzaddik. That's a tzaddik. To be a tzaddik who's closeted in the Beis Medrash, to be a tzaddik who's closeted in my spiritual ivory tower, to be a tzaddik who again focuses on his own spirituality, the exclusion of everyone else, that's no great accomplishment. Everyone can be a tzaddik if you cut yourself off from the general world. Says the Rebbe, what makes the tzaddik a tzaddik is when he's willing to become re'ehu, when he's willing to become a peer, even to someone who is not his equal. When he sees someone who is also a truth seeker, but that person needs hand-holding, that person needs encouragement, that person needs chizuk, and the tzaddik is willing to step off his pedestal and to go down and to find that person where he is, wrap his arms around him and lift him back up, that's a tzaddik. He says, Mekarev etzmo atzelov, kol kach kilo haya chaveiro mamish, ki ilu heim ish v're'ehu. So you see that both Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Levi Yitzchok go ahead and really espouse this same idea about Moshe Rabbeinu, but in two different contexts. This idea that Yisro can't understand why Moshe Rabbeinu is bothering himself with the common man. That's not your problem. That's not your problem. You are the leader. You are the Gadol Hador. You need to nourish your own spirituality. And if you hang around with these people, they're going to bring you down, to which Moshe Rabbeinu says, you don't understand. I agree with your spiritual assessment of me. I'm the Gadol Hador. I'm the Navi Hashem. I'm the mouthpiece of God. But you know what my tachlis is? My tachlis is not to live in an ivory tower. My tachlis is not isolation and separation. My tachlis is to go down to all those who are seeking to go higher, to go down where they are, and find a way ultimately to lift them up. So if you bring this all together, it turns out that from what appears to be, and I think we'd all agree, we've read this section in Parshas Yisro many times, and the truth is, to be very honest, it's not attention-grabbing in any way. It's actually probably the most unexciting part of the entire parsha. Yet we see how it oozes and overflows with profundity. The Torah goes into such great detail regarding this story of Moshe and Yisro about the judicial system, really to teach us three distinct lessons. Lesson number one, the Torah is giving us an incredible insight into the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu is not just simply a leader, he is the leader. His anivas, his humility leads him to think that it's okay if he burns out, he's always replaceable. And whereas ultimately every person is replaceable, there's a specific tachlis that we each have. There's a specific purpose we each have. And we have to be careful to conserve our energies to be able to accomplish that purpose. You know, one of the greatest challenges in life is what's called energy diffusion. What do I mean by that? There are many different things that we like to participate in life. Many different things we want to do. But we also have to realize that as much as there's many things that we'd like to do, we each have a limited amount of koach. So in life, the greatest decision we have to make is what am I putting my kochos into? What am I getting involved in? What am I putting my efforts into? What am I putting my resources into? Because I need to make sure that I don't diffuse my abilities. Yisro says to Moshe, you have something important to accomplish, and therefore you need to conserve your energy, you need to conserve your resources, and direct that in the direction in which it needs to go. Because otherwise, if you diffuse those energies, you burn out. If you diffuse those energies, you run out of steam. And if you diffuse those energies, you won't accomplish what you need to accomplish. Second insight into the story, Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Rav Tzvi teaches us that the Torah gives us this story to teach us what? That Yisro is smarter than any Jew. Shkoyach, we found a Gentile who's smarter than a Jew. Okay, maybe the first and last time. Right, we found the Gentile smarter than a Jew. And you know what? There are plenty of Gentiles who are smarter than Jews. We do not claim, as much as people like to say the Jews are always this, it could be that there are others who are much smarter than us. But that's okay, because our intellect is not our defining quality. Our defining quality is our midah of bakshonos, our midah of being a mavakish. Our defining quality is that desire to always grow, to always want to be more. That's what made Moshe Moshe. Not because he was the smartest. After all, he didn't think of the judicial system on his own. But he was the man who turned off the road because he wanted more light, when everyone else was simply too busy with leading their ordinary and mundane lives. The Torah goes out of its way to teach. And by the way, this is such an incredible idea, because it's so important, especially, this comes up all the time in parenting, because especially, again, with children in school, very often the metric of success is how you do on a test. And it's that's great if you're good at tests. But for those of us who weren't so good at tests, your sense of self takes a huge hit throughout the years of schooling when you can't get that 100, you can't get that A, and it's wrong. Because if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't grade us based on whether we get the A, the B, or the C, but he grades us by the effort, we need to find a way to value our children, to value ourselves, not based on what we can produce, or not based on some type of objective external framework or benchmark, but based on how much effort we're willing to put in to grow ourselves in life. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything. That's what defined Moshe over in Yisro, and that's what made Moshe great. The willingness to go off the beaten path and to grow more, to become more, and to do more. And lastly, third lesson from Levi Yitzchak, and ultimately again from Rabbi Nachman, is that through this episode, the Torah is teaching us about what it means to be a tzaddik. You know, a person can learn all the Torah in the world, and that doesn't make you a tzaddik. If I make you a Talmud Chacham, you might be a scholar, but you're not a tzaddik. Conversely, a person doesn't have to learn all the Torah in the world to be a tzaddik. You know what a tzaddik is? A tzaddik is someone, essentially, who's willing to give up a little bit of what he has in order to be able to benefit the other. The tzaddik is one who's willing to give up of his time, of his comfort, and yes, even of some of his spirituality, in order to be able to go down to other places where others are stuck, in an effort to hold on to them, to reach them, and to ultimately pull them out from the clutches of mundanity, and to raise them up to something more. The tzaddik is someone who is willing to say what's most important in life is not what I can do for myself, but what's most important in life is what I can do for the other. And sometimes the ultimate thing we do for the other is we sacrifice of ourselves and we sacrifice ourselves. That was the point of contention between Moshe and Yisro. Yisro says, Moshe, greatness in life is defined by your own personal accomplishments, by how you're going to grow, by what you're going to do. Moshe says, no, my dear father-in-law, I respect you so much. And like Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, you're smarter than I'm ever going to be. And I appreciate your etzah that I should not go ahead and diffuse my kochos. But you don't understand what it means to be a tzaddik. I know what it means to be a tzaddik. What it means to be a tzaddik is to be b'socha mi anochi yosheves, to be a person who sits within your people, to be a person who's willing to get down into the trenches of your people, to be the kind of person, ultimately, again, who's willing to give of yourself in order to lift up those around you. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. And Meretz Shem will continue with Parshas Mishpatim next week. Thank you. You as well.